Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions, including some great questions about how to use Disney gift cards right now with My Disney Experience and mobile ordering, things like that. Also, we talk about the best ways to get from Disney to Universal and back. We also get great feedback from one of our listeners who just returned from Walt Disney World last week, giving some feedback about using the pools at the hotels, park hopping, feedback on that because a lot of folks are asking about that, and much more. We've got lots of questions on today's show. Don't forget today's show, as always, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for your next Disney adventure, an adventure is out there. Work with the travel professionals over at the Magic for Less. They're a fee-free agency. Doesn't cost you a dime. You're going to pay exactly the same as booking directly through Disney. And with many packages, you get little goodies, little booking bonuses, we call them, to make your trip even better. So check them out today. Book your next trip over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It's a free way to support the show. It's one extra click, and it really does help us out a lot. So if you would please, next time you shop on Amazon, just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Finally, a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you for allowing us to continue to do the Be Our Guest podcast, put out four shows a week, and have our live call-in show every Sunday night. Don't forget, our patrons get an extra show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to become a patron or just to see more information, please visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1883 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. And before we go any further, happy birthday to listener Margie. Today is her birthday. She's always in here with us on the live chat. Joins us on Sunday nights. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful birthday. You deserve it after this past year. So, hey, I'm telling you, Margie, get ice cream today. Mike said you have to get out there and enjoy a couple of scoops. It's your birthday. Today, we're getting together, as we do every Wednesday, to answer your listener questions. Can't wait to take on the plethora of questions we have in the inbox and live in our chat today. Joining me, as always, we have Ricky from a Disney World, after all.
Wow,
that com.
No, I mean, yeah.
Is that
sure.
Still there? Is that
still, it is. I still,
there?
It, yeah,
I'm just, I can't, I don't know where that came from, but you're actually from the mouseforless.com more frequently. What's going on? Sorry about that. What's up?
That's okay. I could really go for some ice cream now. So if Margie's sharing, Fritz's. I'm all in. Like, yeah. Let's go. No, Doozles. I'm telling you, it's Doozles.
Burgeons.
So. But yeah, I could go for some ice cream. So, I mean, it's been really nice out here in Georgia. Like, gorgeous, like in the 70s. So, I mean, ice cream in the 70s sounds like a perfect day for me. So, let's go. Let's head out, Margie. Let's go.
So, you, Margie, the ice cream's on Ricky. Here's the other thing that's weird, though, right? We always associate ice cream with, like, you know, warm summer weather, great night, top down on the Jeep, no doors, go to Fritz's, not Doozles. And you get your ice cream. But here's the thing. You know, I love ice cream all the time, right? And this is why. If it snows, I got to have ice cream, too. Like, on the opposite end of the spectrum, like, it's snowing. Got to go get some ice cream at, you know, Chick-fil-A or, you know, Dairy Queen. Because Fritz isn't open when it's cold. So there
right,
you go.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
That's a little interesting that you get ice cream when it's cold, though.
Absolutely. I get ice cream all the time. Like, tonight, as I finish the podcast, Mallory has cheer. She gets Chick-fil-A after cheer. I get a cookies and cream shake. So.
Oh, they have good cookies and cream shake, though. Not gonna lie. Now, that reminds me. I get a free dessert at my Chick-fil-A, so I should head on over there and get my free cookies and cream shake.
And by the way, that was Riley who is leaving us. She's going back to Columbia, but she just wanted to say she does appreciate potato butts. We call them potato butts, like the ends of the waffle fries, the ones that look like potatoes.
Yeah, those. Yeah,
that's her treat. So she must have heard me say the word, and she got a little Pavlov's dog.
She's like, I want. Yes. Let's go.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Trouble, Pam Forrester. Pam, how do you like your ice cream? When it's cold, when it's hot, just any time in between? What's your take on that?
Where do you fall? Know this. I am lactose intolerant.
We're killing you.
So while I do enjoy the ice cream, it doesn't really enjoy me.
No.
Yeah. No. You know, I can have it like every now and then. And I guess like this lactate pill that sort of you can take for it, but I will say it doesn't always work. So, you know, yeah, I know, but I do. I mean, who doesn't like ice cream? It's awesome. There are a few companies that make ice cream that don't contain milk, like they have coconut milk or something like that. So love those. But yeah, it's not really a good idea for me. I was going to say that. Those of you who are lactose intolerant know the repercussions of doing the ice cream, but sometimes it's worth it.
That'd be my worst nightmare, lactose intolerant. I drink milk like it's going out of style and ice cream. Oh my gosh, that's so. Anyway, let's get to the questions because Alfred's got one. And I'm curious about this one as well. So we got the news this past week that Mowski, or excuse me, in Epcot, is basically being replaced by a store named Creations. And
Creations Shop.
Okay, sorry. Yes. For one thing, I do have a problem with this.
Yes.
When you have something that ends with an S and then the next word starts with an S, like it's just, it's all kinds of like hard to say as a podcaster. So fix that, Disney. I'm just saying they don't care. Creations Shop. Okay. Besides that, I'm excited Club Cool's coming back. We get Beverly. Okay, so there you go. I'm pumped about that, right? But they need to bring back the Ice Cave. I mean, if you're going to go, don't go 75%. Bring back the Ice Cave. They're not going to do that.
No, they're not.
So thoughts, Ricky, give us thoughts on what we've seen, artist renderings, and the Creations Shop.
Stupidest name ever.
don't be so harsh. I mean, it's not the best.
Wow.
I know. Seriously,
I'm sorry.
Easy.
I mean, you went from mouse gear to
that was cool.
Creation
Yeah, I agree.
Shop.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I can think of a lot of other names that work better. Ep Shop. I mean, like seriously, like it is the Epcot main store, and you go with the Creations Shop. Like, what are you? Okay. Well, anyway, the actual shop though looks really interesting. So they're gonna have murals of Mickey with lots of different creative ways of, you know, showcasing him. They're going to have big open windows so that it lets the light in. It's going to be a really nice space to shop, I feel like, because sometimes I felt like Mouse Gear was a little, it could feel a little cavey before. I mean, you know, and it hopefully it doesn't meander. And it was really kind of, I felt like it was, especially for newbies, really easy to get lost in Mouse Gear before. So I'm excited to see what they do with the actual shop. I don't like the name, obviously. But I'm excited to see what they do with the shop itself. And welcome back, Sticky Floors. How we've missed you.
So here's the thing, though. So is the Club Cool slash Creations Shop, again, hard to say, is that going to be in the former Mouse Gear spot, or is it going to be on the other side?
I don't know.
Where's it going to be for sure? I think it's going to be in the old Mouse Gear area. I think it's going to be on the left as you're walking to World Showcase inside, walking into the park.
I'm not entirely sure. I am certain that someone has figured it out on the internet and has posted where it's going, but I'm not entirely sure which side it's going on.
See,
obviously, you would think they would be together, right?
Maybe. I would guess. I mean, if they're both going to open, they got to be in the same area because they're probably constructing them together. But here's the thing. Like you mentioned, exactly why I'm not real hip on this new design. I know a lot of people, this is like the new trend, right? In retail, that open space, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was shocked because we went to the mall to go to the Apple store or something like 2 months ago to get something for Pam for her birthday. And we went in through the Neiman Marcus entrance. Or was it Neiman Marcus? West County Mall, Ricky. What's that store?
Oh,
it starts with an N.
It might be Neiman Marcus.
Maybe it is. Anyway, it's like a big Macy's, but like there's tons of empty space in this big old store. Like there's not much going on. And I'm like, Mouse Gear was awesome because it was full of junk. Like, I mean, dude, there was stuff everywhere.
Cool.
Like, it was, I love that. Like, I could get lost. That's awesome. But I don't want the open space. Pam, how do you feel about these two designs? I love Mouse Gear because it reeked of like 1980s just retailism. And I'm fine with that.
Well, so you know what my main issue with Mouse Gears was. It smelled like butt.
Well, I mean, it was over a sewer, but okay, go ahead.
Club Cool. Yeah. Did not have a good smell.
No, they did not have a good smell.
Air purifying in both those shops as we
It was just, that was really my main thing. Like Mouse Gear, I will say, I've remembered shopping there for so long. Like, this is how many years old I am. I remember shopping there when they had that whole tech section. Remember the tech section that had just all of this Disney tech, which was not that much, and near it were like CDs and DVDs, like back when they used to have all these things, right? Yeah. And they just don't anymore. But that was my main problem with it. I think, you know, there were a lot of stores at Walt Disney World in particular where it just felt a little claustrophobic, right? You were in there. I was just like, I feel like I can't move. I feel like everyone is right up against me as I'm shopping, right? I'm always waiting for someone to be done looking at whatever they're looking at so I can look at it or they're waiting for me or whatnot. So I think there was a lot of room for improvement. And I think part of this had started at one point because of accessibility. There were stores at Disney World where I think all of us know if you had any kind of wheelchair or electric device, there's no way you could have gone in there. That's because true. There was no space. So I completely understand that what you're saying. Like, it sort of feels like a little bare when you go in there at times. Like, there's a lot. You feel like it's a huge open space and not as much material, not as many items there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this rolls out and looks, because I will say I love the Disney store, the World of Disney at Disney Springs now. I really truly do. I feel like I don't get as overwhelmed there in it. I feel like I can find things so much better. They probably have to have more people, you know, restocking in a store situation like this because they don't have as many displays, but I just feel like I enjoy it so much more. So I don't know. We'll see.
Obviously, they've probably done, studies on, you know, people are more likely to buy, you know, or the amount of money they make per square foot when they don't cram stuff in. But it just, I was a fan of the old World of Disney over the new one. Like, that's just me. That's like my, I don't know. Like, I don't mind getting lost. And the trick was, and I still had on Foursquare and now on Swarm, I had a tip. No matter where you buy your stuff in the old World of Disney store, check out in jewelry. There's never going to be as long of a line because that's where all the expensive stuff is. Just saying. Big tip.
That's good advice.
I know.
That was a good one.
There should have been a guidebook somewhere. So, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Club Cool, Beverly, all that stuff come back. Pretty sweet. let's see here. We have a question from Kelsey. Thanks for being in the live chat. Headed to Florida in 4 months in the fall. Woohoo! I'm hoping to be at Walt Disney World around the time of the 50th. If my dates change, is it easy to change the dates of my tickets? Thanks. So, Pam, talk about that, but also, here's the thing. Theme park reservations, man, they're the gold standard right now. And if you're there around the 50th, if you got them, you just can't move them. I mean, unless you want to go to Animal Kingdom on the 50th, you're probably good. But even then, it's going to get tight on that soon. I'll talk about that, Pam.
It will. So, the ability to move your theme park tickets is... there's a few things you have to think about. First of all, availability. Is it even possible for you to move your theme park tickets to new dates? That will just depend on what's available at that time. And also, you have to remember that date-based tickets, of course, also have a dollar amount that depends on the date that you were going to use them. So if you want to change, please be aware that the price could increase. And those are the two factors that are really going to impact that. And guess what? You don't really do a refund if the new dates happen to be less expensive. So that's the way it goes with that. But you can make changes. Some of the changes can happen right there on the app if you want to. And some of them you'll have to call in to the ticket sales office for that.
All right, here's a good question from our good buddy Andrew. So glad to have him here in the live chat with us. Which show at Theater in the Wild at the Animal Kingdom was your favorite? So he gives us Journey into the Jungle Book. Never saw that one because that was probably before me. Tarzan Rocks or Finding Nemo. So I'll give mine real quick. Finding Nemo is my favorite because it's really, as a dad, it tugs at your heartstrings. Like, I cry every time I see it. Oh, I don't cry. I just get stuff in my eyes. It is kind of dusty in there. But Tarzan Rocks was awesome because I was an inline skater. And, dude, those people are flying all over on those inlines. Like, jumping over the drummer, the live drummer, and the guy's flying over. Dude, how do you not love that? A dude on rollerblades jumping over the drummer. I mean, done. But here's the thing about Tarzan Rocks. If you went in July, you were lucky to come out of that theater alive. It was so hot. Like, it was so hot. Once they closed that animated air conditioning, yes. Thank God, people could live through the show. So, Ricky, out of those three, what was your favorite?
I've only seen Finding Nemo.
What? You didn't see Tarzan Rocks?
I didn't, no.
Oh, my God, it was awesome. So, it was so great.
I mean, I have to go with default. I love Finding Nemo. So, I've only seen Finding Nemo.
Okay. Pam, what about you? Because you've probably seen all three.
I did see all three. I will say that I thought that the Tarzan Rock show was really interesting. And I'm going to bring this up and try to put it as delicately as possible. The Tarzan Rock show had quite the cult following.
Because almost naked Tarzan? Yeah, okay. Yes, yeah, that's what it is.
There's a cult following by a bunch of ladies or a bunch of people who appreciated Tarzan. I won't limit it to just ladies, but a bunch of people who had a deep appreciation of Tarzan and his wardrobe.
His loincloth. Yeah. And he was climbing a rope the whole time, too. Like, it's like on the cruise.
I know, right? Yeah. And the guy may have worked out a day or two. I'll just say that as well. Yeah. Whatever, you know, whoever was Tarzan, he, you know, apparently, you know, he and Chuck Norris or something. He had the total gym at home, I'm going to say.
Yes.
So I appreciated that show, not for quite that reason, but I thought it was an interesting show. Just like how you said, Mike, the people were rollerblading. It was a very high energy show. Really liked it. I did see the Jungle Book show as well. That was there. And then, you know that, yeah. And then the Finding Nemo show. And I'll have to say, I really appreciate the Finding Nemo show the best. I think that maybe it is just because of the air conditioning. I don't know. But no, it really, they do such a great job with it. There's, songs that were written just for that show there. And I think that's really sort of a rarity when you think about theme park shows. How many of them have a song? How many of them have good songs written for them? There might be some theme parks around the world that have, songs written for them. But how many are as great as some of the songs right there? And I think it is a really good story. So, like that.
All right, Corwin of Amber, who is always with us live here on YouTube, joins us, says, best way to go from Disney resorts to Universal. So personally, I would just Uber or Lyft or take a taxi. But Pam, I mean, if you're not renting a car, obviously you have your own transportation. It's probably 15 minutes. Pam, what
do you do? Yeah. They're not that far from each other, really. I think that's a thing that people don't know that much about, but they really aren't that far from each other. You absolutely can just go ahead and take one of the rideshare options. There also are, Universal has a transportation. So if you're following up with the Universal package, maybe they have transportation to and from Walt Disney World. That's something that's available for you as well. Also, any of the town car and limo companies will also be able to do that. So take your pick.
All right. Sarah's got a question in the inbox. Hey, Mike. My husband, my son, my daughter, who are both teens, and my mother-in-law are headed back to the world in 54 short days. We've been going since 2013, and February 2020 was our last time there pre-COVID. This will be our first time going back during the pandemic. I know it'll be different because of but a pandemic visit is better than sitting in the office. We'll be taking my mother-in-law with us. This will be her very first time. We're lucky to score a great deal on our hotel stay. We're staying two nights at Animal Kingdom Kidani Village in two separate rooms, Safari View. Splurging for mine and my hubby's 20th year anniversary. And the rest of the time, we're going to be at the boardwalk. You're doing it right. This is our first time going without a dining plan and park hopper. I'm waiting to add the park hopper option, so I'm up in the air about the park hopper. All these questions are going through my head, and I know I'm not the only one. So she has five quick ones, so let's kind of knock these out. Do I pay now and keep fingers crossed that we can enter another park after two? What if we purchase park hopper and we're not able to take advantage of it because the parks are at capacity? What are you hearing about the pandemic park hopping? What if you make a dining reservation but can't enter a park due to capacity? And what are the must-dos for a first-timer during this time? I feel like this visit may be our best one, besides getting to stay at Kidani Village and Boardwalk. We're forced to slow down a bit. Love listening to the podcast. Sarah's tuning in Owensboro, Kentucky. All right, so Ricky Tackle, what about the park? What are we hearing? You always, you got your ear to the pavement when it comes to hopping.
For the most part, the good news is I think that if you would like to park hop, you can. I mean, Pam, have you heard of anything? Anybody?
There has not been one date there where park hopping has been totally shut out.
So,
not even been one.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. So, you know, hopefully that continues as we move forward. I don't see why it shouldn't. And if by chance, goodness knows that like something does happen, I suspect if you had a dining reservation, they would probably let you in. Again, not 100% sure, but you know, I would suspect they would work with you. But again, we haven't seen it, so I don't think you're going to have that much of a problem. So
right, with the dining question, we don't know because they have nobody's been locked out. Now, what this is. Because here's the issue I ran into for my trip that's coming up in a couple of weeks for Mallory's Cheer. We're staying at the Hilton for a little bit. And then Mallory and I are staying at Coronado for a couple nights. But the thing was, we didn't get her ticket until four days ago, right? Mm-hmm. So I hadn't bought Pam's. I have an annual pass, but I hadn't bought Pam's ticket until I got Mallory's because we got to make theme park reservations together anyway, right? I wasn't even sweating it till we got that ticket number. So I got it all linked up, got to make the park reservations. The only parks that we could get were Epcot and Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Mallory and I we're getting Magic Kingdom later in the week when Pam's coming home a couple days early because she's got to teach. But I think the thing is with the park hopper, that's kind of your backdoor way. We can go over to the studios at 2, or we can go to the Magic Kingdom. Like Mallory and I can hop. I didn't buy a hopper for Pam because we can only go Sunday night and Monday morning. That's it. And she goes home. So Pam, is that the right thinking? It's kind of a backdoor way to get into a park that's sold out is to get the hopper.
100%. Yeah, it is. You know, we have this question come up a lot from guests, and I will say, I still find the park hopper to be like a huge benefit at this time. And maybe even more so than it used to be. And the reason why I'll give you is by the late afternoon, there are so many guests who are leaving the parks. Mm-hmm. There just are. And when you talk to cast members, they'll tell you the same thing. When you are able to hop to a new park at 2 o'clock and you have the rest of the time that they're open, even if that's a shorter period of time, you're still going to get a ton done in that new park. Mm-hmm. And just like Mike was saying, it's absolutely a great way to be able to hop over to Hollywood Studios, which is the park that we're seeing lose park availability the earliest, and do some things there. Now, of course, you won't be able to do Rise, but that's really all you won't be able to do at that point. Slinky Dog, you can just go ahead and wait in the line. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, as well as Smuggler's Run, are all going to be available at that time. So make sure you're looking at those. The other thing is, if you're looking more than, let's say, a few weeks out, if you're looking at park hours, I mean, they'll give you an idea, but don't think that's going to be the actual park hours, because we have seen them increasing park hours probably in that 1 to 3 week time frame is when they seem to be altering them the most. And you'll see in particular, Epcot is open routinely till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So that's a huge period of time that if nothing else, you wanted to do Epcot and enjoy whatever festival is going on, because they keep the booths open the whole time. That to me would be worth the park hopper cost right there. So make sure you're checking that out.
And that's what Jennifer saying in the live chat says, so glad we added the park hopper recently. Even with parks at capacity, we were able to hop daily. So nice ending days at Epcot's festival. So that's a good point. I mean, it's a backdoor way to, and you know, we're really trying to maximize our time. We're down there, especially now with, you know, not what it's giving you is flexibility. And right now flexibility is such at a premium because Disney, I mean, I understand it, right? They need to know where people are. They need to kind of control the environment more than they did pre-pandemic. But this is, I mean, basically you go to your park in the morning with your, then you have the option to go anywhere you want at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited that we will have the park hopper for a couple days. And I just, it just doesn't make sense for Pam because we can't go till the competition's over on Sunday afternoon. So right. We're not going to go to a park till like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're going to Epcot. Then we'll just go to Epcot that morning. She's got to be on Magical Express at noon, you know, or like 1. So we'll go for a couple hours at Epcot because it opens at 11. You know, it's just, it's one of those things. You know, it's just, it is what it is. We're down there for cheerleading. They better win. I'm just saying. Okay. We have a question here from Becca in the live chat. And she also said earlier, she was laughing when she was listening. Where is it? Hey, Mike, I'm waiting for my train right now in Philadelphia. I was laughing while listening to the podcast this morning going to work when you said people don't really ride trains anymore. Well, people don't ride trains in Missouri, I should have said. I know people in the East Coast, right? I'm a Midwest guy. We don't ride trains a whole lot. Anyway, she's asking, though, she has a question about when you take Uber to the Disney parks, where do they pick you up or drop you off? And I think this is kind of interesting because Disney has really addressed this over the past year, yeah, where they have designated signs now, especially like if you walk up to the studios, you'll see these like right where the Skyliner kind of dumps you out. It'll say rideshare and they'll have spots there. And that's where they pick you up, drop you off. Same thing for Animal Kingdom. Same thing for Epcot. Now, Magic Kingdom, TTC, right? Still,
Yep.
And some people go to the Contemporary, but you probably...
They have really stopped that from happening. Yeah, it's been a huge deal. There were too many podcasters and YouTubers who were not sharing official information, but sharing their little hack, which was against the rules, right, explicitly on Disney's site. They have, since the reopening, they have really strict rules in terms of day guests and things like that at resorts, so... Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Just putting that out there. Yes. I don't want you to be disappointed. So.
For real. And Becca is listening on a train right now. She's watching live. So there, she's awesome. On a train. So people do ride trains, people, not just Walt love trains. I love trains. I don't ride them very often. Okay. Wendy's got a question. She says, hello, Mike. Just want to start off by saying what a huge fan of the podcast I am. Thank you for keeping the magic alive. My family thinks I'm crazy for listening to Disney podcasts all the time. You're not crazy. You're crazy awesome. Tell your family. She says, I have a mother-daughter trip coming up next month with my oldest daughter. We're staying at Saratoga Springs for a week. She was a 2020 high school graduate who missed out on so much last year and her first year of college as well. We're leaving right after her school finals to finally celebrate. Any recommendations of a must-do to make it even more special for her? Thanks again for all you do, Wendy. First of all, congratulations to your daughter. 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we're going to look back at this group of kids that went through high school and missed out on proms, graduations, you know, experiences that first year, freshman year of college. And that, you know, they're going to be hopefully applauded. And because, you know, like you can't really redo those things. Like prom was fun, you know, walking. Mm-hmm. I did fall asleep during my undergrad graduation because it went forever and I stayed out too late the night before. Totally fell asleep in my chair. So that's not really exciting. It's more for the families, not for you. But yeah, totally. I think we're gonna look back and just, these kids are going to be remarkable. So I don't, Ricky, give us, what would you say? Because I mean, some things, you know, you got fun meals, but I mean like tours and all that are unavailable right now. What would you do to celebrate somebody?
Yeah, I mean, it does make it really tough because there are so many things that we normally suggest that are completely unavailable. So, you know, again, and it's something that we say for like little kids, but like, I'm going to say really make the day about her, you right. know, let her plan the whole entire day of what she really, really, really wants to do, you know, where she wants to dine, you know, all of that. I think that that's going to be the best choice. You know, because there really are so many things that we can't do right now as far as like special activities that we would normally suggest. So I'm going to say make the day all about her. That's going to be the best way. And get a celebration button, by the way, because you can still be celebrating.
Hashtag always get the button. Just yes. saying. Okay, here, yeah. I got a couple things though. Okay, this is Mike, right. the party planner.
Yes.
Can you change my hat real quick? I'm not actually because I got headphones on. Here's the deal. They came out with that 20-minute photo pass rental kind of deal, right? That was like 2 weeks ago where you can like book 20 minutes. So maybe bring a fun prop. Maybe bring like your graduation cap.
Yeah, that's a great
something
idea.
Something like that, right? Dude, look at this. I should be a party planner.
I mean, totally.
I don't know. Yeah. Like a bear if like your mask. We talked college mascots or high school mascots before we started recording. You know, bring your tiger. Bring a tiger. I don't know. So anyway, do that with your mom, little mother-daughter, you know, in front of the castle or wherever. That'd be fun. Also, what about Pam? I think you brought this up the other day. I don't know if, like, you know, some girls are into this, some are not. you can't do like the Ivy Trellis kind of experience I used to have at Grand Floridian, but isn't there a hotel like the one of the fancier hotels that has kind of Four Seasons? Like you maybe do like a spa day or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there are still some great things. And for me, whenever you're talking about a celebration, I think that something that would, you know, I think always help mark that occasion is some piece of merchandise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the amount you want to spend on that, you could go little or huge at Disney World. Maybe you want to buy that crystal castle that sits in the Arribas Brothers, right? Yeah, that'd be a great way to mark the occasion. But no, there are all kinds of souvenirs, and some of them have a lot more meaning than others. And I think if you could find something like that to help mark the occasion, that's a great way to celebrate as well. Also, when you're checking in for your dining, make sure that you let them know not only when you make the reservation, but also when you get to the restaurant that you're celebrating something special. There are still some cakes. I think they're just basic cakes that you can order from certain restaurants. Call about that. There's actually a line that you can call about that called Disney Dining as well. See if that's available. So that's another way you can as well.
Cakes are always the right answer.
True story.
Right? Cakes and cupcakes.
Yes. All right, so I just got this email this afternoon from one of my guests over at the Magic for Less, Betsy, and she just wanted to kind of share. She just got back this few paragraphs here about her trip. She says, "Hey, BOGP crew, I just wanted to drop a note to say thank you for all the pointers you gave in your recent podcast. They helped to make my spring break trip." It says Amazon, but I'm sure it's probably supposed to be amazing.
Amazon, but he shops a lot.
Yes. Autocomplete. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. No, just kidding. Not really. My 9-year-old daughter and I park hopped to all 4 parks 2 days in a row and enjoyed decent wait times and perfect weather. Even though there were no park reservations available on any of our days, we never had a problem hopping around. We had no trouble getting a pickup time for mobile ordering, and we even got to check into our room by 11:30 a.m. I always put I will be there super early in the hopes we get in early, and most of the time it works. I do the exact same thing. Like, what time are you going to be here? I'm like, 8:00 in the morning. Dude, my flight lands at noon. I'm just saying, because maybe my room, it probably doesn't matter, but I do the same thing. I'm not sure if it is because of what I put as a preference during online check-in or some magical power Mike has when he books it for me. Either way, I'll take it. Yes, it's absolutely my magical powers that got you through.
There you go.
She says the only snag we hit was going to our pool at the resort, Coronado Springs. If you're not lined up by 9:30-ish to get into the gates, when it opens at 10, they fill up due to decreased capacity. By 10:15, and you will be put on a waiting list. The first day, it was for 2 hours. They just send you a text when you're able to go into the pool area. We could still go to the quiet pools and use the pool bar and play in the play area while we waited. One of my friends let me know this ahead of time, so I was prepared. The cast members let me know what time to line up in the morning to ensure I got a spot the following morning. We're lucky enough to be able to take off our masks for PhotoPass photos, and the cast members let us know we needed to keep our masks on until we were about to take the photo, slip the mask off, and then put it back on before we walked away. They all said the same thing, so it's very clear what the expectations were. We have been lucky enough to go a few times during the pandemic, and I have seen PhotoPass photographers get so much grief over the masks recently. In February, one cast member finally had to stop what she was doing to tell a large group because they would not comply. And all the photos she took would be deleted because they were in the background with no masks. And I'm sure they are thrilled. The cast members are thrilled with the new policy. I witnessed something new on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train line. It was about an hour wait. And as usual, many people came and went while a member of the party stayed in line. This time, when you rounded the corner to get into the actual queue, you were stopped by a cast member and asked if all members of your party were present. If not, they made you step out of line and get on a green dot until your party returned. I believe this is new because we haven't seen this before. I just thought I'd give a fresh perspective of Walt Disney World during a super busy time. Thanks for all the great information and fun, family-friendly podcast. We appreciate all you do to keep us up to date on all things Disney. Thanks again. Happy spring, Betsy and Caroline. And she also says, forgot to mention, once you get a seat in the main pool, you can come and go as you please. So thoughts, Pam, what do you think? I mean, I think that's great. I mean, it's giving tips right there. And a lot of this stuff's brand new last week with the masks.
It is. And it seems like, you know, while the pool situation can happen at any Disney resort, It's definitely, I believe, Coronado that seems to be having more, not, I won't say challenges, because it is what it is in terms of, you know, being able to have the number of people they're allowed to have, reaching capacity and things like that. But look and see if that's a challenge when you get to your resort, to if you're going to need to be there. At certain times, you absolutely won't need to be there early to get a pool seat, and you won't need to check in. It has been spring break, and we are, coming right off of Easter or heading into Easter. So again, that's traditionally one of the more busy times at Walt Disney World. But just be aware that one of the biggest changes that has happened since Disney has reopened is the fact that you're not quite able to be as spontaneous and still get exactly what you want. You can still be spontaneous, but I think you have to be more adaptable and flexible in that space. But be making a plan, like instead of maybe coming back to enjoy the pool, you know, mid-afternoon when everybody else and their brother's doing it, consider experiencing it earlier in the day or later in the day, or making a whole day of it, like setting aside that time to experience the pool and taking a whole day to do that, which we've suggested a few times lately. So go and enjoy.
And once you get in there, it's probably glorious. Like I'm not a huge swimmer. Like I enjoy the Disney pools, but usually like one time, maybe twice out of like a week stay, like when we go in the summer. I'm just not a big pool. Like I'll swim at night too sometimes, but like you said, I'm looking forward to it just because A, it's more relaxed in there. You don't have to have a mask on. You can just kind of chill and, you know, especially Coronado's. I love Coronado's pool. I love the dig site. Can't wait to be back. All right. Okay. Question. Mike from Missouri. He's got a question.
Okay. All right.
Hey, guys. Hey, BOGP crew. Love the podcast. My favorite Disney podcast of all time. Congratulations on 13 years. Thank you, Mike. I would like you to critique my recently made podcast. I would like you to, yes, it's favorite podcast. I appreciate that, Mike. Okay, I'd like you to critique my ADRs, which I just made this past week.
Okay.
Only made 3, but I have 4 because of a friend. Mike has 3, but his friend helped him out with a fourth one because she is a parent in the cheerleading group and had 2 extra slots for one of her ADRs. So
this
invited us on the
day.
Like
Mike Rollman.
No, it's just there. It's Mike from Missouri.
Okay.
It's actually Mike from the Midwest. That's
Midwest.
What it says. Yes. Okay.
Midwest, yeah.
Anyway, so here's the ADRs. Olivia's.
Shocking.
Beer Garden. Paradiso 37. And Topolino's Terrace for dinner. Give me a 1 to 10 on those ADRs there, Ricky. What do you think? Or give Mike in the Midwest their rating. Their 1 to 10 on those ADRs.
I mean, I think that obviously the Paradiso 37 one is going to get a little bit lower marks there, Mike.
What? easy to get. I'm just saying, like, you got to be pretty simple to get. There were lots of
it
availability,
is.
But I mean, I'm telling you, and in this, Mike, I'm just saying, we've seen these pictures and this reviews, and I'm hearing good things about this restaurant. I'm super excited.
I think Mike, who I'm gonna guess likes Mexican, is probably gonna be happy going to Paradiso 37. They have a lot of like South, you know.
It's called Taste of the Americas because
yes.
Pam wanted me to read the menu to her the other day.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Taste of the Americas.
It's the Americas. Yes. So I think you're good. I mean, Mike is good. So I do like Topolino's, but I haven't been there for dinner. I've only been there for breakfast, and I very, very much enjoyed breakfast. However, they took my favorite thing off the menu, so I'm on the fence now about this one. But I think it's going to be a fantastic meal. Plus, it's a character meal right now, so you can
at night it is though. I don't think it is at night, right? Is it?
Oh, it's not at night.
Dinner.
Oh.
And here's the thing, so we land at 5. Dinner's at 8. Okay, you know I usually eat at 4, right? This is gonna be a struggle bus. This will be like 4th meal for me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Okay, Pam, let me ask, because you've had dinner at Topolino's, right?
Mm-hmm.
My Pam is worried like that, because I told her it's fancy. Like we're going out like on a date. And so now she's worried about dress. I mean, you can wear, you don't have to like dress up, right? I mean, she's worried about like bringing something super nice.
No,
the only place at Disney that you have to dress up is Victoria and Albert's, and yeah. All the rest you're going to be fine in most of the other things. I mean, there are just like no like tank tops for guys and stuff like that. So you're fine with things like that. But I will honestly say the one I think you may not want to do is Topolino's for dinner. So I love Topolino's for breakfast. It's absolutely one of my favorite breakfasts there. We've done it before and after Disney has reopened, and I think it just has some really great choices. It's great to be able to see the characters. It's just a great experience. I enjoy Topolino's a lot for dinner. But right now, I feel like the menu's a little limited. And while the view is absolutely spectacular, I think that you, Mike, will be happier with one of your other choices.
I think that's true.
Well, see, I don't have anything for that night. And here's the thing, too, because we land at 5. It's one of those things, like, on your travel day, you're exhausted, right? Like,
yes,
I'll work 100%. I'll run that morning. I'll work until we leave at noon, go to the airport, land at 5, get all of our junk, you know, probably get, then of course it's cheerleading thing, so we'll get Uber over to the Hilton at Disney Springs. Mallory will see all of her cheerleading friends, blah, 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 and everything will start going crazy. And then, like, I'll just be like, whew. And by 8 o'clock, I'll probably just want to go, like, Chicken Guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's go get Chicken Guy. And I can totally see this happening. Or go to Paradiso 37, just walk in, you know, and have it twice, like, two nights.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it's a lot for... It's a lot for the beginning day of your trip.
And like, I'm cheap, right? And this is an expensive meal. I don't want to go there and like be tired and cranky and all that stuff. Like, I mean, if I want to be fancy, I want to be like ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, I don't know. I am excited about the other ones. I'm seriously excited about Paradiso. I'm not joking. I'm really, really excited about Paradiso 37. It looks like my kind of place. I've been curious about this place for a decade, and I'm finally getting to go there because we're staying at Disney Springs. It's happening, people.
I'm excited that you're going to get to try it. I have been there, so it's not like I haven't tried it. I've seen it quite a few times.
Yeah, I mean, insert that. I've never seen an episode of The Office, but that one that has that guy that's in the 40-year-old virgin that's like, it's happening. Like that's what's happening with me going to Paradiso 37.
It is certainly up your alley. I will agree. Like it is up the Mike Rahman alley.
And you gotta like when you find a place, right, that's not impossible to get into. Like that's the kind of horse you want to ride, right? The one that's gonna be there for you.
Yeah.
You know, not some, you know, thoroughbred that's always so fast you can't jump on it. You know, giving you lots of stories here. Okay, last question of the day. Let's get to it. TJ's got one here. TJ's been with us for quite a while. Hey, Mike, hope all is well. I have a question for you and the esteemed panel of experts on the podcast.
Are we esteemed?
We are. Mm-hmm. After before Mike in the Midwest read his ADRs.
All right.
For upcoming trip, I know we'll be mobile ordering all of our quick service meals and possibly more. I have a significant amount of Disney gift cards that I've been saving for this trip and also have money on a rewards card from the Disney Visa. Is it possible to link any of this to the My Disney Experience account? Would prefer to use this up first. Thanks, TJ. Pam, I know you used to do this often, right? You would take Disney gift cards down to pay off your difference on your hotel charges. So what should TJ do in this kind of a situation?
So first of all, if you're doing mobile ordering, you absolutely are going to be able to use your Disney gift cards. Now, the system as it's set up right now does not save the gift card information. So one of the things that I do is I make a note in my phone that has the Disney gift card number on it so that I can just open that up, copy it, then paste it in when I'm doing my mobile ordering. The other thing you can do is go ahead and you can't charge things to your room like that, not the mobile ordering like you did in the past. Right now, that's the way that the system is set up. But you can absolutely use Disney rewards cards and Disney gift cards in the app itself to pay for things. So don't worry about that. When you are at table service restaurants, of course, you can charge back to the room, which you can then go to the front desk and use gift cards and apply this to your balance. But the other thing that you can do is just go ahead and use your gift cards when you're there at the restaurant. There's no reason why you can't do that as well. Almost every restaurant on Disney property is going to accept the Disney gift cards. They're also valid to purchase things while you're at Walt Disney World as well. So you'll be able to use those Disney gift cards and those Disney reward cards for sure.
So if you're charging like your quick service meals, the best way to do it is charge back to the room, then use it to pay off the room. So
you can't do it with quick service because you have to mobile order.
But I mean, the mobile order would go back to the account though, and then you could use the Disney gift cards to pay off the account, right? I mean,
no, you can't mobile order. So when you do mobile order, you actually have to pay
the card that's on
with
your
either
phone.
A
that's
gift right. card or a credit card.
Right.
Can't charge back to your room. So
oh, you're right.
That's it.
Yep.
But that's why I make the note, and I'm sure the Apple people and the Disney people are both like, yeah. because I didn't know what that, but like, it's just a string of numbers. Nobody knows what that is. They're not going to have access to my notes. And if they are, I feel bad for them. They did spend all that work trying to hack my phone to get that, because literally my notes are so boring. So boring.
All right, we're going to get out of here, but we're going to be back again on Friday, where we're going to be talking about another trip planning topic to make your next Walt Disney World vacation awesome. But until then, don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. Some are expiring soon. There are also some room discounts. Of course, Disney cruises through September of 2022. And if you're going to go on a cruise, let me just tell you, you need to book with us, because you're going to get a great onboard credit, spins just like cash. And everybody always asks, how's that work? Like, how does the onboard credit work? What happens is it's based on the final price of the cruise, obviously, up to 5% of the total cost of the cruise, barring, you know, taxes and all that kind of stuff. But that amount is sitting in your account when you walk on board. When everybody, you know, welcome the Roman family, and everybody cheers for me, and I'm like, yeah, I got an onboard credit. Hey, how's it going? And so nobody else does, but I do, because I booked with a travel agent. So there it is. And then what happens is my credit card doesn't get hit until I use up all my onboard credit. And then once it's all gone, sad face, it goes to my credit card. But I get to have some fun first. And my other rule is, don't use it for tips. You can, don't. You got to have fun with it. But anyway, if you're booking a cruise, Magic for Less, we're going to get you a great deal. Costs exactly the same as booking through Disney Cruise Line. We'll take care of all the stuff you need. We'll give you all these great tips in your email all the time. Also, Walt Disney World, same way. We just want to take great care of you and help you. 5.5 hours I waited on the phone today for Adventures by Disney. Do you want to do that? And then, okay, so here's real quick. Let me tell you a travel agent life story real quick today. This is why you want to have a travel agent, right? Today, the day of recording, the 2022 Adventures by Disney itineraries came out for folks that were canceled in 2021, right? They get first dibs. I get, that's awesome. That's a great deal. I call right away. Boom. Get in. First technical difficulties. It hangs up on me. Okay, no problem. Call right back. Get a line. I listen to the International Gateway music loop for 5.5 hours. I took the dog for a walk. I ate lunch. I waited. I begged the guy. Every 10 seconds, he's telling me, we can't wait to see your guests. I'm like, me too. I want you to see my guests. Can I talk to you about it? Nope, it's a recording. But here's the deal. 5.5 hours I wait online. I'm like, okay, I think I'm in a loop. And I always, you start second guess. Everybody's been in a situation, right? Like, am I like in some loop that's not, nobody knows I'm in this loop? So I'm like, okay, I can't call anybody else because I'm on my phone. I get on Skype. I call the number. Boom, they answer within 2 minutes. I'm like, are you kidding me? I could have done this at like 8:15 and not waited 5.5 hours. I'm just saying, use a travel agent, because I banged my head on the desk. My guests didn't have to.
Right.
And they're going to Japan.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Look, so I will say, when things like this are, when, you know, there's a discount released or something new opens and stuff like that, Mike and Ricky can affirm, I tell agents, do not try to do two things at once, because that's actually, it doesn't, you know, it, you're not good at it. If you think that you can multitask, you're kidding yourself, because you're not good at it. The only time I say that multitasking is a good thing is when you're waiting on hold.
Yes.
I'm just saying, so. I got to bang my head. That's why I'm wearing a hat, so you can't see my forehead, because I was like, are you kidding me? You answered in 2 minutes? What? And the lady's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, wow. I know it's not you. I know it's not you. But please don't hang up on me, because I don't want to hit. Anyway, so that's why I got, I'm just telling you, that's what we do, though. I mean, it's stuff we figured out. I'm like, you know what? Maybe nobody is going to ever answer this phone. I might be on this phone Friday. And I would have been, like, if I wouldn't, because I was not going to hang up at that point. I'm like, no.
Right?
No,
way. Right. You're there.
And you second guess yourself, like, oh, whatever. But it worked out. So anyway, magicforless.com. I'd love to help you out. Our agents, we do that stuff. And we have fun conversations on the groups. So that's what we do. So there you go, themagicforless.com. Also, hey, use our Amazon affiliate link. You can do that online shopping. As I was on hold, I was looking at Amazon. You know, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That really does help. And a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you for supporting the show. You get an extra podcast every Thursday. Mike in the Midwest. Oh, my gosh. He emailed us today.
What?
He tells stories about growing up here in the Midwest. It's a fun, fun show.
Question from him.
Absolutely. It's ironic that happened. But, yeah, if you'd like to support the show, it really does mean a lot. Just visit patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter @brguestpod and @brguestmike. Of course, subscribe and follow the show on Facebook and YouTube. And join us every Sunday night for You, Me, and Scotty G. 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Those things get crazy. We had lots of fun conversations this past Sunday, and we have a great topic for this Sunday night coming up as well. So join us Sunday night. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday with more fun Disney talk. So until then, stay safe, stay healthy. And for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.